Welcome to NCC Unplugged, the podcast from Norwin Christian Church where conversations, community, and culture converge.
Welcome back to another episode of NCC Plugged. I'm excited that...
Unplugged.
Did I say plugged again? All right, just keep rolling, Matt. This is NCC Unplugged. I see unplugged in my head and I say plugged for some reason. However you joined us, we appreciate it. We're thankful that you are a listener of ours. If this is your first time, my name is Jeff Terpstra. I'm the preaching minister here at Norwin Christian Church, and I'm sitting down with Jonathan Slatt, our youth minister.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So Jonathan and I are going to have a conversation about youth ministry, one of our ministries here in the church. We have many different ministries, but youth ministry is by and large one of our largest ministries in terms of participation, the support that the church gives. And so just wanted to highlight this ministry. And as we go through this podcast, I know there'll be other ministries that we talk about, things we do here at the church. So Jonathan, why don't you give us a little background? How long have you been our youth minister? How did you get excited about youth ministry? All those things.
Sure. So I guess how long I've been the youth minister depends on how you define me being the youth minister. Mm-hmm. If you go by when I was part-time, then I've been here for about 2 years and 2 years and 2 months. Cause I started started December of 2021.
Okay.
The middle school Christmas party was my first day.
Gotcha.
As youth minister. But then as I was finishing school, I was part-time, went full-time when I graduated in May of 22. And I've been full-time since then. So,
yeah, and before all of that, Jonathan was our intern for a bit for youth ministry.
That's true. 2018, my senior year, I would leave for the back half of my senior year, I would leave school early to come here and be an intern, which was awesome. Like, what more could I want?
Yeah, and who was your boss during those days?
You were.
That's right.
I mean, talk about a work environment.
Oh, my God. It was, I mean, it couldn't get any better than
that. It could not.
So maybe you don't know, but before preaching minister, I was the youth minister for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So Jonathan was one of my interns during that time. And I remember that time when you're an intern. I remember hearing you talk about your senior year. And Jonathan was already playing a big role in the youth ministry mm-hmm. before his internship and playing worship for the bridge service that we do and different things that maybe Jonathan will talk about here in a little bit. And I remember hearing that, like, oh, you're getting to leave school early, you're going to get a job. And I think you're at Subway, right?
I was at Subway. I was. I was a sandwich artist.
And I think, okay, that sounds fancy.
That's what they call it.
And I remember talking to the elders and maybe some of the staff members. I was like, but I don't want to lose Jonathan to Subway. And I was like, can we do something? You know, we've had interns before. Would it be out of the possibility of doing an internship during the school year? And so it's neat we were able to have you during that time. How long were you an intern? Was it 6 months?
I think it was six. It would have been about 6 months.
You didn't do it through the summer.
No.
Because we do a lot of events over the summer, and so you wanted to participate in those things as a student, mm-hmm. not as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to finish off your senior year doing that.
Right, yeah.
So going back to the question before I rudely interrupted.
No.
What was your heart and passion behind pursuing youth ministry? Tell us a little bit about your story there.
Well, it's a weird question. It's like, where does it start? Like, how far do you go back? Because I wouldn't have even started where you started, but I guess I should. Is in high school, I was doing a lot of different things, like a lot of volunteering things, where most of it was worship because that's kind of where I was naturally gifted. I'd played piano and guitar for a long time. I would say I really started getting involved probably, I don't even remember what year it was, but we had a youth worship leader. His name was Troy Coates. He's an awesome guy. But he led the band and I was a part of it. And then when he graduated, I kind of stepped into that role. Having not really known how to play guitar, definitely didn't know how to sing, but jumped into it. I liked the aspects of leading and being able to use those gifts. And then from there, it kind of went into being a counselor at Camp Christian with the middle school week, and just kind of getting involved in different areas. Like we had a student leadership group that I was a part of. just really any way I could get involved, I wanted to be involved. Mm-hmm. In high school, I didn't really do anything that was associated with the school. Like, I didn't do any sports. I was in marching band for 2 weeks. I almost passed out the one day that I was, so I got out of that pretty quick. So like everything I did was really here. Mm. And all my friends were here. All my opportunities for leadership or service or volunteering were here. And I think that's where my heart was kind of built for it. Mm-hmm. And then on graduating high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think I maybe had some ideas, but so I went to community college, which I highly recommend anyone who's graduating to do. Took a couple years to, I got a degree in graphic design. Matt really appreciated that. Thank you, Matt. Kind of figured out what I wanted to do and then found that I really liked psychology and was kind of getting away from ministry for a while. I don't know if I was intentionally saying I don't want to be in ministry or if it was just I was going a different way. Because I tell Natalie, like, she was with me through this whole process. We've been together for a long time. And I never felt like I was denying ministry. Like, I truly felt like for several years I was passionate about counseling and therapy and psychology. And I went to finish my bachelor's in psychology, and I was totally set on going into graduate school, whether it was for clinical psychology or mental health counseling or something in that field of psychology. And I found that when I look back on it, I could see God softening my heart to get back to ministry. And it kind of started when I got this job at a mental health facility. I was just a receptionist, so I wasn't like counseling or anything. But I got to see the day-to-day of what I was about to get into. And I wanted to become like a doctor, a clinical psychologist. But then being there and seeing what a clinical psychologist does, I was like, oh, well, this isn't really what I thought it was. This isn't for me. I'm glad I didn't spend 5 years in graduate school doing this. So from there, I said, okay, well, I really like the therapy part of it, so I'm going to go into therapy. So then the plan changed from, okay, I'm not going to be a doctor, but I want to be that master level therapist, master's degree level therapist. So again, I had plans for that. Natalie and I went to the college library and mapped out the next 5 years of our life on a whiteboard. I made a PowerPoint about it to tell our families.
You like your whiteboards.
I love whiteboards. I really do. They're great. And so we mapped that all out with, I was going to be in Virginia for this many years. We were going to get married here, do this. And then something, I don't remember what happened. I just remember feeling this way that I felt that I needed to go into faith-based counseling because otherwise I'd be limited, right? Like if I can't openly speak about the power of the gospel, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to help people the way that God wants me to. Mm-hmm. And then Terry, who was the senior minister here at the time, left and went to his home church, which is an oversimplification, but mm-hmm. You stepped up into that position. So then the youth minister position was open mm-hmm. and not stepped up like promotion, just stepped right, up right. in age.
I became a real minister.
You became a real minister. Yeah. He wears collared shirts and stuff like that.
Jonathan just has his t-shirt on right now.
Yep. Right. Oh yes. I am repping the Norwin youth t-shirts, there you go. By the way. Love God, love others. Yeah. The back's really cool too, but you'll have to see it on Sunday because I could show it. Should I show it?
Show the back?
The back.
Oh, if you're...
Is it weird too?
You're listening to this on video? Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Here's the back.
So maybe we could talk about the back, but it has some meaning. But this was designed by one of our students, and I'm repping the orange today because I think we have an orange one and a blue one, and the orange one doesn't get enough love, I think. So I've got the orange one on today.
Nice.
But what was I talking about? So this position opened up, and I was with Natalie at college at the time, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, wouldn't that be fun if I stepped into that position, but never really considered it. And then over the next several months, God was softening my heart. Like, you had me preach here mm-hmm. the one day in July. And I remember I stood on the stage and I said to everybody, if you need a sign to follow Jesus's calling for your life, this is your sign. Like, I'm telling you right now, turn around, repent, follow Jesus's calling for your life. And then kind of thinking on that after I said it. I was like, I really need to follow my own advice there. And I went to Natalie and I said, you know, I'm kind of thinking about this. Do you think we could make this work? Like, what do you think about this? And she's like, you've been talking about this for like the last several months. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is what you want to do. This is what God wants you to do. I was like, okay. So, you know, I've praying about it, went for the position and went through a interview process here. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And now here I am.
Yeah. You said something interesting that I've found myself saying, something very similar. Like you said, God softened your heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when people would ask me, oh, Jeff, do you miss youth ministry activities? Do you miss being with the youth? My answer was always yes. I miss that aspect of things. But then as I got further away from it, I always respond with, I think God was working in my heart more than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of used similar language with God was softening your heart. And that's easy to look back on in the past.
Yeah.
Because in the moment, you don't see that. In the moment, you don't see, oh, my heart is shifting in this way, or I'm feeling a tug to maybe do a different type of event or a different program, or I feel led to do this. Those can just be things, I don't know, you find yourself doing, but once you have the opportunity to look back on those things, you realize the growth and the process that it took you to get there. And for you is all those different events leading up. And
And it's like, I mean, I think all those steps still feel like they were necessary.
Mm. Yeah.
Like if the just job had opened up when I was in the first part where I wanted to be in clinical psychology, it would have been a hard no. Because I truly thought like, this is where my gifts are. This is where God wants me to serve. But the things that I learned from pursuing the different paths are things that I use in this job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I get to counsel people or talk to people and, you know, things that I'll use in teaching, like there was so much truth and wisdom that God gave me along the way that I still use.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we listen to God, it is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that journey isn't a straight path because we do need to learn things and pick up things along the way. And even as you're interacting with students, as you're, you know, we've talked about opportunities for you to preach coming up, you still have that psychology background and all the education in that field to use for those things. So that's really important. So when you think of youth ministry now, where do you see youth ministry in the bigger picture of the church?
Mm.
You know, there's different philosophies of youth ministry. There's different theories of how the ministries play in within the church. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's definitely formed over the last 2 years for sure. And I'm still, I think, discovering the role of that and where youth ministry fits in with the church. But one thing that I've held to that you held to was that the youth are not the future of the church. They're the church now.
Mm-hmm.
So this heart of equipping them to do God's work where they are and not, okay, when you graduate, you can do this. When you're in high school, you can do this. When you are 18, you know. But no, you can serve right now, you know, and we have service opportunities, teaching them to own their faith, right? Like, you know, yes, you're with your parents and you should listen to your parents and understand what they're teaching you, but you have to own your faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to make the decision to follow Jesus. And it's not that you'd have to do it when you don't have your parents around or when you go to college or when you go to work, but it's right now. You know, we're all children of God. As far as God's concerned, the difference in age between us is pretty negligible. Mm-hmm. You know, God is eternal. You know, 70 years is nothing, right? So as children of God, we're all in that place. We all rely on him. You do have to own your faith at that age. So I think, to me, it's almost felt recently like youth ministry feels like a small group where it's, you know, we are a smaller part of the larger church that is growing together and learning together and getting closer to God. And it's, you know, it's not so much that you show up and I talk for half an hour and you listen to me and I, you know, it's not classroom style. And that was something I struggled with at the beginning was, what does this look like? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different thing because it's not preaching. It's not teaching like a classroom. It's not just a small group. Like it's different.
Yeah.
But it has those aspects of discovery, right? Like we're discovering God together.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's this, it's this journey that won't be a straight line, but mm-hmm. yeah, let the church know.
So bust the myth a little bit that youth ministry is just playing games with kids.
Youth ministry is 60% playing games with kids. And then, it's not just playing games, right? Like, I don't just sit in my office and come up with new games to play. I do sometimes, mm-hmm. like when we're getting ready for camp or I need to be creative with how we're going to do this. I will devote time to it. But the games serve a larger purpose in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's not just busy work, and it's not just something to do to burn some energy before we go and have a lesson, right? I mean, this was something I didn't realize right off the bat, because I really didn't want to fall into that stereotype mm-hmm. of like, all they do is play games, especially as like a younger guy without a beard at the time. I didn't want people to be like, oh, all he does is play games, he doesn't take this seriously. So I wouldn't put a lot of thought into the game. Like, I'd say, okay, whatever, we'll play soccer for 20 minutes and then mm-hmm. go into the lesson. I don't really care how it happens. But then as I went kind of understanding, well, no, the game is a big part of the night, mm-hmm. right? When we have youth group, we got to break the ice, right? We have a lot of students that know each other and they are friends. But we also have students that, you know, they're coming from all sorts of different schools. They might not know each other. Maybe they see each other once a week at church. And the game really serves as a way to, like, we're all in this together. We're going to do something ridiculous and break down some walls before we get into growing together. And it's really kind of like that team building, which sounds cliche, but like building relationships type mm-hmm. thing. And if you look at our process, to me, that's the come part of come, connect, grow, go, is mm-hmm. you come and play a game or play frisbee or soccer or maybe something more ridiculous, but you know, it's part of icebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. And our church pulls from so many different school districts. And mm-hmm. so for a lot of kids, this is the one time for them to be together in their church family. Mm-hmm. And so things like that can be, like you said, unity and bringing kids together for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you have a verse or a Bible passage that you maybe in the days when things aren't going good in youth ministry mm-hmm. that you look to inspire you and to encourage you?
Absolutely. I think the passage that I go back to the most and that really inspires me is the story of the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. Because I think that really embodies what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Like, our mission statement in the youth ministry is to provide a place for students to get closer to God, follow the Holy Spirit, and find their place in the body of Christ. And the story of this woman who didn't know Jesus, she was just coming to the well to get something she was always doing, mm-hmm. and then had this encounter with Jesus and followed him because of it. Like, we have an awesome room downstairs, right? We've got great, you know, we play fun games, we've got good snacks down there. We might have students that are coming just because their friends are here, right? And you come just to come. Mm-hmm. But then while you're here, we want you to have an encounter with Jesus. Mm. And she's I just love that aspect of it. She didn't expect anything. I mean, she was just, if anything, she probably expected to be disappointed and hot because she was out there in the middle of the day. She was just going about her life. But when she left that pot there and went back and told others about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And like, that's such an important process of our spiritual growth process. It's such an important part of what we do in the youth ministry. So that passage definitely inspires me for sure. I mean, was there one that inspired you when you were starting out or one that inspires you now in preaching?
Yeah, it was interesting. So during that transition time between youth ministry and preaching, there's Rob Grandy was in charge of the preaching schedule, and Joshua and I and Rob were sharing a lot of the preaching duties. And so I had done sermons before as the youth minister. In fact, I had done one sermon series. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks long. And but then that was the start to definitely preach more often. And one of the series
yep.
We did was on Colossians. And so my goal through that series, even though I wasn't preaching every week, I tried to read through the book of Colossians every single week just to get it in my head and grasp it. And so this stuck out from Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He, meaning Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And so, in my head, and I don't know if this image is right, but in my head as preacher, he says we do this so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. I just had this picture of being held accountable for the flock and, you know, ushering everybody in fully mature and say, yep, I taught them this. Yes, we looked at scripture this way. Yes, they're ready. And that's kind of what I go back to often is, you know, as I plan things, as we do things as a church, outside sermon series and sermons as well, you know, when we have worship nights or what the direction for our church is, what's our 1-year goal, different things. Is this leading to greater maturity for our church? So that's something that really inspires me. I also marked my inspiring verse in youth ministry. And I use this different ways. Mm-hmm. At the first church I worked at in Florida, I painted it up on the wall and came up with acronyms for different things. We, like youth ministers, love acronyms for different things.
Some of them do.
I'm going to guess that's not you.
Probably not the newer ones. Okay. No.
1 Timothy 4. Are you saying I'm an older?
No, I don't know what I meant.
That's right. 1 Timothy 4. We'll start in verse 12. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and love and faith and in purity. So Paul was writing to Timothy, this young guy, this young leader in the church, and saying, well, I guess the aspect I love to that verse is it doesn't say prove them wrong by your knowledge of all these things or by not wearing t-shirts that are wrinkled, but... He says, set an example for them. Like, just show up and do it. You know, show them that whatever accusation they have against you isn't true because of the way you've been living your life and your speech and your love that you have for others. So that was kind of always motivating to give out to students, you know, hey, there might be some really well-meaning adults in your life. There might be some really well-meaning adults in the church that, oh, well, the kids can't do this, or oh, I'm not quite sure we can hand that responsibility over to a high schooler. Okay, take that, but then show them with your love and your purity and your actions that that's just not true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think, I remember as a teenager, like, you just want to fight back. You just want to be like, you're not right. No, that's not true. Right. I could do this. Let me show you. And I think Paul's just encouraging Timothy just to show up in his actions and stuff like that. So for those listening, Jonathan, what else would you give them as far as this is what the youth ministry at Norwin Christian Church is about?
Yeah, for sure. Before I do that, though, I want to speak to kind of what you just said just real quick about our church is I'm so thankful and grateful how little, if at all, we ever experienced that sort of resistance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for sure,
people at this church are so willing to let the students into their spaces and into these volunteer spaces. And I mean, they love Generation Sunday. People love to see the youth serving. And not even just to appease them. It's not like, okay, you can go do this because it's not really that important. Like, they have them involved in the things that need done to help this church run. And just so grateful for everybody who does that and supports the youth ministry, for sure.
Would you say, because I wholeheartedly agree with that, would you say we have a teenager, or we're at least open to having teenagers in every aspect of our church?
Absolutely.
I mean, from our children's ministry programs to, I mean, we have some of the high schoolers do communion meditations to our welcoming team, our hospitality team.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never encountered a ministry leader that said something was too important for a high schooler or for a middle schooler. You know, are there spaces that might be like, I don't know how to put it, like in a counseling situation or something like that, there's different things, but there's nobody even in those situations that isn't ready to help equip a youth to do those things. And the way that they look out for each other as well is awesome. Yeah. For sure.
Good. Anything else to share?
Yes. What it was. I was gonna say, I remember I sidebarred there.
Come back to it.
Could you ask the question again?
So for those listening, what else about youth ministry here at NCC do you want people to know? Any other myths to bust about youth ministry or just how we do things here at NCC when it comes to youth ministry?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's easy to see something like a CIY trip, like one of our bigger trips that definitely costs a lot more money. It's a bigger chunk of our budget and say, well, why aren't we able to replicate that here? Or why can't we do something like that? Not that anyone's ever said this, but I think it's one of those myths of, you know, these big events that are just kind of lip service or just flashy. But really when we go on these retreats and these trips, we do a lot of them over the year. The students come back changed. Mm-hmm. They come back with different outlooks on life, different things in their hearts. God works on them. And sometimes it takes, you know, being away somewhere where they're away from what they're normally responsible for, what's normally kind of plaguing their lives, and they're able to focus in on God for a full weekend or a full week. And those events are just such a crucial part of youth ministry, getting together, having a shared experience. And what I really love to try to do is get the students to connect with each other, because I love connecting with them and I love talking about things and helping them work through problems. But ultimately, they are going to graduate, and I will absolutely still answer calls and texts, but for them to be connected with someone who's in it with them is so crucial, and someone who's going through the same thing, someone they can trust who also loves Jesus, that is going to help them get through that. Yeah. So unfortunately, students do have to graduate. I've tried to stop it, but
yeah, I'm sure their parents have tried to stop it too.
Right.
They want to keep them. Mm-hmm. And I know you have a huge team behind you.
Absolutely.
You have some great volunteers that were there when I was there. Mm-hmm. You have some new volunteers that are learning the ropes, and man, that's so important in youth ministry. Mm-hmm. One thing that I heard a while ago of switching the ratio, not having five kids to one adult, but having five adults to one kid. And man, as a parent, to know that there's other loving adults caring for my child and teaching my child the things that I'm teaching at home is so important.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just a shout out to youth ministry volunteers.
They do so much. I mean, they're so relational and so just everything. I mean, they're willing, they're so willing, right? They're so willing to do whatever I ask of them, and ultimately whatever God asks of them in this space. And they make connections with the students, and there's always personalities that it's like they just don't clash sometimes, but we have so many adults that everybody has someone to connect with and who can understand them. And like, you know, I don't get being like the popular guy, right, from in high school, but
because you passed out at band camp and couldn't even make that.
Exactly, right? I didn't even fit in with band camp. Or, you know, I was never super into sports or anything. But, you know, so sometimes it's harder for me to make a deeper connection with those students. But we have other volunteers that they were all about that. And they're like, they can talk to them and they understand the challenges that come with that and how their faith works in with that. And, having people with different life perspectives that are able to teach and lead is just, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah.
So Jonathan, one of the bigger programs that you do in youth ministry is called The Bridge. Mm-hmm. Tell us about The Bridge.
So The Bridge Service, I guess is the longer name, might have actually been my first experience with the youth ministry here when you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So The Bridge was something that was started, obviously it was my first experience a long time ago. And it's a service specifically designed for middle school students and their parents to attend together. And it's a more intimate service. It's smaller. The youth praise band leads the worship, so it's more of an acoustic set list. But the idea of it is that middle school is this time of rapidly changing parent-child dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, middle school students are really starting to figure out who they are. They're trying to find their identity in different things, and they're gaining more autonomy. Psychologically, they're developing into really who they're going to be as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until that point, there's a lot more reliance on the parents. There's a lot more There's a lot less disagreeing with everything they say. It's just changing, right? And it can be tough to navigate. So to have a space where students and parents can come, maybe set aside some of the difficulties they've had during the week and learn about God together,
yeah.
right? Because, you know, parents have difficulties. It's like, I just feel like I don't understand them. And students are like, yeah, you don't understand me, right? You know, it's this challenging thing.
And so you're trying to bridge that gap here at church. So that happens first Sunday of the month, 8:45 mm-hmm. every month. Except for the summer.
Except for March and April, it's going to be the second Sunday.
March and April, you're mixing it up a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. Other regular programs, give a little bit of a commercial for that. Times,
absolutely.
Dates, all that.
So we have these nice cards that Lilac the Squirrel is holding with our night events. And what those are, on Sunday nights, we have youth group for high school, and that's mm-hmm. 9th through 12th grade. 6 to 7:30 is what we have the program for, but people always stay till later than that, talking and hanging out, which is awesome. But that's a time that's when I think of what I would invite a new student to for the very first time, I think of youth group because it's not intimidating like maybe coming to a church building on a Sunday morning is. You know, it's darker outside. Not the whole church isn't lit up and full. You know, it's kind of our space to be there and to talk and to interact with God in that way. Additionally, for high school, we have on Sunday mornings, we do have a high school class. That one's tricky, though, because it meets every other month.
Okay.
And it's not just because we want to make things difficult for parents, but it's because in our vision of the youth being the church now, we want the youth to be able to participate in main service. Mm-hmm. So we'll have 1 month where they're in service and they're part of that sermon series and they're with their parents. And then the next month, they have their own space to dive deeper into the Bible and get some scripture with each other. Every Sunday, both services, we have middle school class. Again, that's another conversational type group that meets in the morning. All of these are led by wonderful volunteers that mm-hmm. have a heart for leading students to Christ. And that middle school class is both of those middle school classes are great.
That's
7th and 8th grade. Yep. And then additionally for middle school, kind of their version of youth group, we have Middle School Connect, and that's on Wednesday nights at 6, at 6 to 7. And that's similar to youth group in the sense that it's a little more relaxed. We got a game, there's snacks involved, and that's for the middle schoolers. And then at different times throughout the year, we'll have different groups for the high schools. We'll have an Abide group program, which is kind of our small group. Mm-hmm. And those are held at people's houses. And then over the summer, and this is probably my favorite thing that we do, is the weeknight hangouts. Usually it's on Tuesdays. But we go to different people's houses, and sometimes they have pools, sometimes they have backyards or campfires or whatever. And those are just really times to hang out, get to know each other. We typically do some maybe more difficult or current topics, like we've in the past we've talked about dating, or we talk about gender roles, things that are going on in mm-hmm. culture, and I love those. It's such a great time. Cool. You know, we stay, it's dark outside by the time we're done because it's the summer, but it's warm, so you're outside. I love it. I'm so excited for that. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thanks for giving us a peek into the youth ministry a little bit and the purpose and the intention behind it mm-hmm. and what role it plays in the greater body here at Norwood Christian Church. Reach out to Jonathan if you have any questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a son, daughter, maybe a grandchild. Maybe you're interested in volunteering in one of those positions. So reach out to Jonathan through the Norwood Christian Church website, and he'll get back to you. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. We'd love for you to rate this. If you feel so led, just get us on that track so others can hear about it and see it through whatever way you're listening to it today. But thanks again for listening and joining us.
Thank you for tuning in to NCC Unplugged. If you've enjoyed listening to our podcast, we encourage you to share this with your friends and family. NCC Unplugged is available on all major podcast platforms. And if you're ever interested in experiencing Norwood Christian Church firsthand, We invite you to join us for our services every Sunday at 8:45 and 10:30 a.m. We have engaging classes available for all ages, ensuring there's something meaningful for everyone in our church community. For more information about NCC or any other inquiries, visit norwinchristianchurch.com